This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Have you ever bought something on social media and then immediately regretted it? New research finds there's a reason we may be more prone to buy stuff we don't need or want that we see when we're on a social media site. Places like Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook overwhelm our brains, making us more vulnerable to buying stuff. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Has that ever happened to you? You're going down the social media feed of your choice. You see an ad or maybe a recommendation from an influencer. And in that current state of mind, you think, yeah, I got to have that thing. And then later you wondered, what? Why? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Call in now. We'll get to that conversation in just a few moments. First, it's the listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio member drive. Ellen Clark joins me now on the last day of the drive. It's also World Press Freedom Day, an opportunity to support community-wide access to information and ideas. Hey, Ellen.
Hey, good afternoon. And a vibrant local media service like WPR is fundamental to keeping our communities informed and inspired. Support the high-quality reporting and enriching entertainment you rely on with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Last hour, thank you to everybody who gave. We heard from 10 new and returning members. Now we've got, this is the last one on the drive, a dollar-for-dollar match up to $2,500. This generous match is from current members, including Gene from Madison, who loves WPR, means that they're going to match every dollar you give.
It is their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio on this last day, this last hour. Double your support for the programs you love. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio is committed to quality. That's why we've been around for more than 100 years. Mm-hmm. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR programs, that quality is possible thanks to you.
Your contribution makes this program, Central Time, possible, and so many others as well. When you give, you're part of the quality you hear every day on WPR. So make a difference right now with your gift and help us meet that challenge at WPR.org. or 888-202-2552.
Last day of the drive. Last chance to ask for the new Wisconsin Public Radio glass tumbler. Whether it's for your morning orange juice or an evening drink, this elegant glass is going to be your new go-to. Make room in your cupboard. Ask for your WPR glass tumbler with your gift of $12 a month or more right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, if you've only just discovered Wisconsin Public Radio recently, we're glad to have you, and we want you to know that WPR is listener-driven, not profit-driven. You get more programming per hour here on Wisconsin Public Radio because we do not take time for long blocks of commercials.
Our mission is to inform and entertain you, serve up quality programs for you to enjoy. WPR is your station. It's possible because listeners like you give what they can to support it. Show your support right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now, you're part of Wisconsin Public Radio's community of listeners. Whether you've been listening for years, just a few months, or you just found us today, you can now become part of our community of members. And that's people who support the program they value.
If you've never given before, think about a gift of $120, or better yet, spread it out. Make an ongoing gift of $10 a month. Your gift of any amount right now makes you a member, and because the largest piece of our funding comes from members, you'll really make a big difference. All starts with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we do have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect. Don't forget, we want to raise $2,500 in 1 hour to have it doubled. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support of WPR will go twice as far.
Get your gift matched right now. And while you're making that gift, ask for a WPR glass tumbler when you give $12 a month or more in support of the WPR programs you count on. This cool-looking glass is going to remind you how much you value Wisconsin Public Radio every time you use it. Ask for yours at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're a sustaining member making those ongoing monthly gifts, thank you so much. Maybe you could make today the day you increase your support by $5 or $10 a month. Help us meet that challenge, whatever amount you choose at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
TJ says, I continue to enjoy WPR for the morning show, NPR News, Central Time, and Dr. Zorba. Thanks from Lansing, Iowa. Thanks to you. you, TJ. How about you? Wherever you're listening, make your gift right now. Get it matched dollar for dollar at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support. Now, social media. You are online. You get overwhelmed scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. You see an ad. You usually wouldn't click on the ad, but you do. And you buy the thing, and then the next day, you think, why did I do that? Well, our next guest has some research that might have an answer for you. And you could join in at 800-642-1234 if you have a personal experience along those lines to share. That's 800-642-1234. Matthew Pittman is an assistant professor of advertising and public relations at the University of Tennessee. He's co-author of new research on why social media can make us more prone to impulse purchases. Matthew, welcome to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Let's start with a concept before we get to your research and social media, this idea of cognitive overload. What is that?
So human beings, even though we use computers, our brains are not computers. We have a finite or limited processing capability. And certain things like social media, because there's so many different forms of media, there's text and video, and there's a post from our high school friend, and there's something from our spouse, and there's a post from The Rock about a workout routine. All these things use up little bits of processing power, leaving us depleted the more we use it.
I have a for example. When I first started hosting an afternoon talk show, it was a little stressful. I was cramming a lot of information into my brain. And I remember a couple times going to a restaurant after the show, meeting my family, picking up a menu, and just not having the processing power, just handed it. My wife knows what I like. She ordered for me. Is that cognitive overload?
Yeah, that would be, that sounds like emotional overload too, and I wish you the best. But certainly
well, I'm good now.
That would be some kind of cognitive overload too, especially if you went right from work to do any other task. We're not very good at task switching or multitasking. So yeah, that would certainly qualify.
Okay, now let's go to your research. You're looking at social media. Tell us a little bit about the experiments you set up and what you're hoping to find out.
So we used food as an item for all three studies because presumably everybody has to eat and we're all at least a little bit interested. Study one, we used like one of those meal subscription kit, Green Chef type things. Study two, we used ice cream. And study three, we used coffee. And we would, there was one condition that was a control condition where we didn't do anything. We just let people look at the ad and actually use their mental capabilities to decide, do I want this or not? And then another condition, we would have them memorize like a 9-digit number, which is how psychology studies have done this in the past. And then the third condition, which is what we wanted to prove, we had them use Instagram for 30 seconds. And having them use Instagram, their own Instagram, for only 30 seconds left them more mentally depleted than memorizing a number and way more than the control condition. And then once they were in that depleted state, they were more likely to be influenced by or susceptible to popularity metrics like a high number of likes or a high number of comments.
Okay, so the alarming thing to me there is 30 seconds. Like I know even I'm not a huge social media guy, but 30 seconds, I could do that easy. That small an amount of time made a noticeable difference?
Yeah, that's a walk down the hall. That's a walk to check the mail. But it makes sense because in that 30 seconds, compare it to, you know, television or a movie or other media, 30 seconds on social media, you can see a post from like 5 brands, 10 different people, some of whom you know in real life, some you don't. So our brain is like a Rolodex. We're constantly shifting through how to evaluate. Do I know that person? Oh, yeah, they're cool. Do I know this person? They're kind of weird. Do I know that person? Well, they're a liar, so I can't trust that post. And all the shifting depletes our resources.
Now, another angle here is you also played with the number of people or the number of fictional likes on the ads you were showing people. Did that, I guess, social media peer pressure have an effect on the decisions people made?
Yeah, so that's important to note. I don't think that using social media or cognitive overload can create a desire in us for a product out of nowhere. But kind of like alcohol can reduce our inhibitions, I think in the depleted state, if there's something we already had our eye on, like a nice glass tumbler from WPR, then maybe we are, and normally we'd say, well, I don't need that. I can't afford it. But if we're just a little depleted, then that voice on our shoulder goes away and we just kind of think, you know what? Other people liked it. And this one has 10,000 likes or 100,000 likes. Maybe it is good enough. All right, I'll go ahead and buy it.
talking to Matthew Pittman, assistant professor of advertising and public relations at the University of Tennessee. We're talking about his research on social media and impulse purchases. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Now, I know probably everybody listening, you've never made that impulse buy on social media, or you wouldn't admit it. If you have, if you are willing to share a story of an impulse buy online, maybe in a cognitively depleted state that can overload too much information, I'd appreciate it if you'd be willing to share your story. If not, that's okay too. But you can impulsively call at 800-642-1234 to share your story. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking to Matthew Pittman, assistant professor of advertising and public relations at the University of Tennessee, looking at his research on social media and impulse purchases. Turns out just a little bit of time scrolling on a social media feed may make us a little more vulnerable to online advertising or that product that an influencer suggests we go out and buy. You can join in if you'd like at 800-642-1234. If you have a question for a guest about his research or an experience to share, 800-642-1234. Matthew, I want to talk about what we can do with your research. What is your advice for social media users out there to, I guess, buyer beware?
So one thing that I have done, because I first wanted to study this because I am a victim of this too, I purchased on TikTok, I saw a thing that was, you can get a Lego replica of you and your significant other. And I thought my wife would love two little Lego pieces of us with our names on it. And it came and she said, "What is this?" And I was like, "Oh no, what have I done?" But my kids love it, so it's not a total loss.
Okay.
But one thing I've started doing since researching and thinking about this is I put things in a shopping cart and then let it sit for a day or two. And then I come back and check. And with a clear head, I'll think, do I really want this or need this? And 90% of the time, the answer is no.
Interesting. A cool down period. I like that. Now, another use, and I know another of your research areas is ethics. I could see an advertiser look at your research and say, aha, yes, we're going to use this. But I'm guessing they probably already know this, Matthew.
Yeah, I'm sure the algorithm knows to target people like sports fans before the big game comes up, target them then when their minds are all frantic and frenzied, thinking about, yeah, you should buy this championship t-shirt. Yeah, I should definitely do it. We're going to win.
And do you have thoughts on how we can, I guess, recognize when we're feeling that cognitive overload, whether it's because of social media or we just started hosting a radio show or whatever the case might be?
Yeah, aside from therapy, which would be helpful for all of us, I think just checking sometimes I try to spend a couple, like whether it's walking down the hall or, again, checking the mail. Sometimes I just don't bring my phone, which seems kind of novel now, just to let my brain reset and be bored for a second. Sometimes it's before I fire up an app to use Instagram or TikTok, I'll just check make sure my goals align with my motivations. Ask myself, like, all right, what am I expecting to do? Okay, I'm going to do this for 2 minutes. Hopefully I'll see something funny. I'll see a cute animal and then I can log off. So kind of being more deliberate and intentional about our use before we start going. Because once we start going, we can scroll ourselves right down a very dangerous and strange rabbit hole.
I wanted to ask you about different platforms and maybe some future research. You focused on Instagram here. Are there other social media platforms you'd want to tackle in future research?
Yeah, I think the more media rich or the more involved, like presumably the more it would tax all of your brain power, because now you're evaluating text and an animated GIF and there's a talking head video and there's some TikTok videos that I follow, and it could basically give someone a seizure. It's like a Reddit thread story read as text over top of a weird video game in the background. So it's like for the super duper ADD, media like that, I think, is really taxing compared to like Twitter, which is a little more tame. Certainly emails, Reddit, the ones that are most primarily text-based. I think those don't use as many mental processing resources as the ones that are like every single media all at once.
Let's bring on a caller. Anastasia is with us in Stevens Point. Anastasia, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to tell us about?
So I actually work for a Gen Z and Millennial market research company, and we talk about this all the time. And granted, we're generally talking to brands about how they can reach Gen Z and Millennials, but the data overwhelmingly shows that when they're looking at ads and actually following through and purchasing, it's always on social media. It's the most, like, more so than any other traditional advertising source. And that's why brands have to be on social media if they want to reach those generations. But in terms of impulsive social media buys, you know, when these Gen Z and millennials, which we consider 13 to 39, when they're seeing hundreds of pieces of content, thousands of pieces of content every single day, you know, overall, it just kind of wears down your resistance to making that purchase. Mm-hmm. You see it over and over and over, you know, the way that advertisers used to try and attract people by, you know, catching them to and from their job on billboards that they might see. Now they're able to reach teens like every second of every day on social media. And so that distance from initially seeing the product to actually making the purchase is so much shorter.
Anastasia, I want to ask you, doing this kind of research for your day job, does it make you think about social media use differently?
Absolutely. You know, we also asked them how they feel about being on social media, and it's pretty mixed across the board, but they understand that it's an addictive platform, and they're making impulse decisions there because social media is naturally impulsive and encourages that impulse.
Anastasia, thank you so much. Interesting perspective. Matthew, what do you think about what we heard from her?
That was really cool. And it makes sense. If you think back in the day, you would see whatever, an infomercial on TV, you had to call, or even going to a website requires more effort, intentionality, more time. And now the time between you have an impulse and you get that, you know, item has, your order has been placed notification could be as, I think it's like 2 or 3 clicks on some things. Like you click on the item, boom, you know, ship. If it already has your credit card info and your shipping address, just a few clicks. It's crazy to think how the time between impulse and purchase has been reduced to mere seconds.
Anastasia, thanks a lot for sharing that. And Matthew, it also makes me think, you know, you, when you were testing people, you had them, recite that 9-digit number or spend 30 seconds on Instagram and then look at the ad once. As Anastasia mentioned, we might see the same ad on social media, you know, 50 times over the course of 20 minutes or something like that if you keep scrolling down. Is that something else you'd want to study in the future, that the frequency and intensity of seeing the same ad message?
Yeah, that's a really good point. The more we've all seen, I'm sure, posts where you see the ad the 20th time, you're like, oh, this is very familiar. And our brains are wired to like things that are familiar. And I'm sure when we see it for the 20th, 30th, 40th time, maybe we don't even know, is this an ad or is this somebody I follow? Do I know them? Do they like me? Do I like them? And all of that would be, yeah, certainly make us more likely to purchase. So that, yeah, the next logical study would be repeated exposure. And I'm sure it would be significant. So the question will be how many extra views does it take to move the needle?
Well, Matthew, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for sharing your research with us.
Thanks for having me. It's a really cool topic.
That's Matthew Pittman, Assistant Professor of Advertising and Public Relations at the University of Tennessee. He talked to us about his research on social media and why it can make us more likely to make impulse purchases. First is Wisconsin. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Ellen Clark is with me on the last day of the drive. Also, by the way, World Press Freedom Day. Great time to give. Make your gift right now in support of the conversations you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we have that dollar-for-dollar match in effect right now from current members, including Gene from Madison, who loves WPR. Thank you, Gene. So your gift of $50, $100, $200, whatever the amount you choose, is doubled up to $2,500. So take advantage of this match and double your support for Wisconsin Public Radio when you give at WPR.org. Or 888-202-2552.
We just checked out this concept of cognitive overload and how it affects a very particular part of our lives when we're on social media and when we're being encouraged to buy stuff by advertisers or influencers or a combination thereof. Really interesting research. Well, here on Central Time, what do? We talked to the researcher to share their findings, tell us what it means, and of course, as always, invite you to share your own experiences. Heard a really interesting one there as well. Well, that's the kind of conversation you can count on here on Central Time.
I could have listened to you two talk for the whole hour. That was so interesting. But don't forget, WPR is listener supported. That means your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics like this you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
You can become a sustainer. Choose a monthly gift amount to come from your bank account or your credit card, and then it's going to continue for as long as you want it to.
And because Wisconsin Public Radio is one of those things you never want to live without, make your support ongoing with that sustaining gift. It's really convenient and it's flexible. You can get started right now at $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
One listener made a donation and then said, we could live without WPR, though we sure wouldn't want to. Well, maybe you feel the same way, that listening to WPR makes your life better.
But could we, though, live without it? I don't know. Whether it's
I'd
keeping
have to get
up
a new job, I'll tell you that much.
You and me both. Whether it's keeping up with the news, enjoying music, the laughs you get from the weekend shows, or the fascinating discussions on Central Time here on the Ideas Network, there's always something good to listen to.
Hey, because WPR makes your life better, help keep it going. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is super important.
And, you know, it's really easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine, like a cup of coffee or your favorite snack.
Think about the news and information and inspiration from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to Wisconsin Public Radio. Maybe a dollar a day, $30 a month, is the right donation for you. Sign up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the programs you enjoy every day.
And our dollar-for-dollar matching is in effect, and we are making some wonderful headway on this. We have about $51 left to raise.
Well, that went fast.
Amazing.
Fantastic.
Amazing. Give now. Help us meet that goal, though. $51 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your support will go twice as far.
And you can grab the new WPR glass tumbler when you give $12 a month or more. Grab it on this, the last day of the drive, and support your favorite radio service in Wisconsin. Give right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support.
Tomorrow on the morning show, we go on a global tour of what's in cereal bowls and the origins of the cereal industry that rose from the Midwest, from Kellogg to Quaker Oats. And we explore historical breakfast cereal recipes to try at home. That's after 8.
Gardening in Wisconsin is a year-round job, and Garden Talk is here for you throughout every season. We help you battle relentless pests and pick your favorite mulch. We also cover how to care for houseplants and successful methods for starting seeds inside. We want to know what keeps your garden growing. Join me, Larry Mueller, for Garden Talk on the Ideas Network, Fridays at 11 and Saturday mornings at 6, or online anytime.
Support for WPR comes from Renaissance Theater Works and Klein's Floral and Greenhouses. Your business or organization can partner in providing the WPR programs that enrich our communities. Join at WPR.org/sponsor.
Wisconsin Public Radio covers the state. You can get the latest news from WPR delivered right to your email with WPR's news newsletters. Find out how to subscribe by going to WPR.org. You'll never miss a story with WPR's newsletter.
You're listening to The Ideas Network from Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We all deal with grief and loss at some point in our lives. But even though it's this universal experience, it can be overwhelming and hard to know even how to grieve. People can even feel like we're doing it wrong if we don't follow the right steps, if it lasts too long or it doesn't last long enough. Our next guest says there's no one right way to deal with grief that's going to work for everybody. Everybody's experience might be different, but there are some things that can help. She dealt with her own significant loss when her mom passed away from breast cancer. She writes about her own story of grief while her mom was sick and after she passed. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you're willing to share with us an experience with grief in your own life, how it affected you, if you felt like there was pressure to get over it, pressure coming from you or from society at large, and you could also join in with your questions for our guest. 800-642-1234 is the number. That's 800-642-1234. Marissa Renee Lee is the author of the new book, Grief is Love, Living with Loss. She's the former Deputy Director of Private Sector Engagement in the Obama White House. And according to her online biography, she's an avid Green Bay Packers fan. Marissa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
One thing that struck me about your experience with grief is, I think in the abstract, we think of grief as feeling sad, but
it came
into your life and so many people's lives in physical ways and mental and emotional ways. Can you talk about just the vastness of the experience?
Yeah. So in my book, I talk a lot about the fact that, you know, while everyone's experience with grief is unique and different, there is so much about grief that is universal in the way that it attacks both your mind and your body. I was able to partner on this book with a bereavement researcher and professor from Harvard University, Dr. Christy Dankla, and she just completely opened up my eyes so that I could see that, you know, my experience, as hard as it was, you know, losing a parent and then a decade later losing a much-wanted pregnancy, that so many of the things that I went through, you know, when I was feeling sad or depressed or anxious or having headaches or stomach aches or insomnia, that it was all perfectly normal. And I hope that this book allows other people who are dealing with grief to feel like what they're dealing with is actually normal and okay. You know, there is nothing wrong with you if you lost someone you love and you're still having a hard time and it's been weeks, months, or even years later.
If you made me say words to respond to grief, I might say things like loss, absence. You really center love. Why is it important for you to do that and maybe for the rest of us to do that?
So the thing that I realized when I lost my pregnancy and, you know, my mom had been gone for over a decade and all I wanted was her. You know, I wanted her comfort. I wanted her to console me. I wanted her to somehow make it all better. And in that moment, I realized you don't get over it. You know, we have this notion that grief is something that arrives right around the time you lose someone, but that's actually not true. Grief is the repeated experience of learning to live in the midst of a significant loss. So it is something that comes up over and over again. And the reason why it comes up over and over again is because when you lose someone you love, you don't stop loving them. You keep loving them, which means, unfortunately, you're going to keep noticing their absence as different things come up in your life. You know, whether it's a big move and your spouse of 10 years is no longer with you, or the promotion at work, or, you know, I think about bringing my father and the rest of my family to the West Wing to meet President Obama and, you know, feeling sad that my mom wasn't there for that. And so for me, recognizing that love is at the core of the pain that we all experience when we grieve, it made it much easier to deal with. You know, it gave me something that I could really understand. And what I do now is commit to finding ways, big and small, to continuing my relationship with my mother. You know, she's been gone over 14 years, and I try to make sure in, you know, the ways that we raise our son, in, you know, the memories that I make with my husband, that my mom is included in them in some way.
Now, you offer a kind of a toolkit in some ways. There's not like a magical path to getting through grief that's out there, but you give some great bits of advice here. And one of them, the first one in the book, is the idea of permission, having permission to feel and express our grief. Can you talk about how important that is?
Yes. So I realized as I was putting this book together, you know, what I wanted to share was sort of my toolkit for how I have come to live a full, joyful, mostly happy, vibrant life while still creating space for the grief and, you know, the sadness that comes sometimes by not having my mom by my side. And I realized one of the main ingredients, you know, one of the biggest things that has made really living with loss possible for me is that at some point I decided I was no longer going to worry about what others thought about how I was grieving. I was no longer going to judge myself for how I was grieving. I was just going to give myself permission to move through my grief however I need to, whenever, wherever I need to, in whatever way best works for me and in whatever way facilitates my healing. And once I gave myself permission to really own that grief, you know, to own the loss of my mother, it made it lighter. You know, it isn't easy. And now that I'm on tour for this book, there have definitely been interviews and conversations that I've been in that have been incredibly emotional. You know, I cry sometimes, and now I'm okay with it because it's normal. And so I truly hope that for folks who are listening and for folks who pick up this book, that it allows them to redefine grief in a way that works for them.
We're talking to Marissa Renee Lee, author of the book, Grief is Love, Living with Loss. Let's go to your calls now at 800-642-1234. Dennis is with us. Dennis, hi.
Hi. My parents were in hospice care, and I was experiencing anticipatory grief. Then, of course, they died. Then the year after that, around the anniversary of their deaths, then I was going through anticipatory grief as if they were still alive, plus grieving they were dead. And it's like, wait, it's like two different realities at once just hitting at the same time. It's what's going on here?
Dennis, thanks for the call. Marissa, I think you can relate to both ends of Dennis's experience there.
Yeah, Dennis, first of all, I appreciate you sharing your story, and I'm sorry. Second, what I will say is the thing about grief is, you know, we have this idea around the stages of grief that Elizabeth Kubler-Ross put out. And I want people to know that when she wrote that book on death and dying, where those stages were first discovered, that book was actually written for the dying themselves, not for you, Dennis, or for me, Marissa, you know, the folks who are left behind. And I think because there is this framework out in the world that grief is a linear experience, when we have these moments of, you know, both grieving the actual loss and anticipatory grief with it after someone has passed away, we think that there's something wrong. And Dennis, I just have to tell you, there is nothing wrong or particularly out of the ordinary about your experience. On my end, you know, my mom passed away in 2008, and I went through a phase of sort of similarly anticipatory grief, actually leading up to my wedding in 2015, because all of a sudden I was hit with all of this emotion around the fact that she wasn't going to be there. And there was just a lot of layers to it. And I've come to learn through the research that I did for this book that, unfortunately, that is a normal experience. And the best thing you can do and the most important thing you can do is exactly what you are doing, Dennis, which is acknowledging it and giving yourself space to have those feelings without judgment. And so I hope that you're able to continue to do that and to just be patient with yourself, because, you know, I'm over 14 years out from my mother's death. I don't think grief ever goes away.
Dennis, thanks so much for being willing to share that with us. I appreciate it. We'll go now to Samantha on the line in Whitehall. Samantha, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Good program. Anyway, my grandma, Grover, had passed away in 2014, but my niece, never got to meet her, my other niece either, but they never got to meet her. So what my brother has done is he's keeping her memory alive, my grandma Evelyn, by pictures and photos and talking about her and saying, this is your great grandma. And when they had when they had the baby shower for her, my baby brother was living in her house, the farmhouse, and found some quilts that my grandma made, brand new, baby quilt and a full-size quilt, never used. My grandma made quilts all the time and gave it to my sister-in-law, my brother, for
love it.
Their bed, and then the baby quilts. So she would always
have
to remember them by, you know, then. But now as she's growing up, they remember her. They keep her memory alive. Anytime she sees a picture of my grandma, she's like, great-grandma.
Yes.
That's fantastic,
yes.
Samantha. Thank you. Marissa, in just our last minute or so, that's a great way to, keep that memory.
Yes. You gave me goosebumps. I so appreciate you sharing that story. You know, the whole foundation of Grief is Love is based on this theory called the continuing bonds theory that says the healthiest way to grieve the loss of a loved one is to find a way to continue that bond, to continue that relationship into the present. And it sounds like that's exactly what your family has managed to do. And I'm really happy and heartened to hear that.
Thanks so much for that call. And Marissa, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for having me.
That's Marissa Renee Lee. We've been talking about her new book. It's called Grief is Love, Living with Loss. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Member Drive. Ellen Clark joins me. You have access to vital news and information and important conversations on WPR. Thanks to support from members, from people like you. Take a few minutes right now on this last day of the drive to make this essential public service possible with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And I've got wonderful, wonderful news. Thank you to current members, including Jean from Madison, for the challenge this hour. And thank you to all of the listeners who helped us out. We have met that goal.
Fantastic. That's great news.
Thank you so much. But we always want to keep up the momentum. If you've never made a gift to WPR before, become a member and power the news and the talk and the music you rely on with your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We fell short on some goals during the drive. Mm-hmm. Now we're going over so we can make up that little bit of lost ground. That would be fantastic. Now, that last conversation, a really, I think, a very interesting, weirdly inspirational conversation about a topic that you might think of as depressing, about grief. I learned a lot from it. We got some amazing stories from our listeners as well. And that's the kind of substantial, inspiring, and useful conversation you can count on here on Central Time.
Agreed. And Wisconsin Public Radio is listener supported. And that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes these many topics that you tune in for every day possible here on Central Time. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
This member drive toasts to WPR with your new tumbler. This is a cool glass. It's got a Soundwave design and a shout out to your favorite station. Ask for your tumbler when you give $12 a month or more right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Sheree from Waupun.
I felt so guilty. I felt like a freeloader for years. I have to say, I just became a member in this past year, and it was a sustaining member, and I want to make sure it fell on a time where I knew I was going to always have it, and I plan on putting you in my will. Even if it's only like a $500 gift, I plan on leaving my mark here. I want to make sure that this continues. I do. This is very important to me.
To make a difference in your community and beyond, visit WPR.org.
Make that gift online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 to give during the last day of our spring member drive. Central Time, Rob Ferret here with Ellen Clark. The WPR programs you enjoy are all possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month, $100 a month, whatever amount you choose makes a big difference for the radio service you count on.
And think about this. You might spend $20 going out for drinks and dinner, and you maybe even do that every weekend getting together with friends. So in the greater scheme of things, $20 isn't a big expense, especially if you do it just once a month.
That's why we ask you to give $20 a month for your WPR listening. It adds up your $20 a month and someone else's. Well, you start adding up, and it ends up being so much of the programming you hear on Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your gift right now, $20 a month or whatever amount you choose that's right for you at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you've never given to Wisconsin Public Radio before because you don't think you can give enough to make a difference, oh, please, please think again. It's gifts from tens of thousands of people combined together that make the WPR programs possible.
That's right. It all adds up. A lot of first-time donors will give $10 or $20 a month for their WPR listening. You decide the amount that works for you, and then join this team effort with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And really, member drives are such an important time to hear from you new members. If you've never given before, make today the day you become a WPR member. We will appreciate it. Your gift will make the Ideas Network possible at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And it's the last chance today to grab the new WPR glass tumbler on this last day of the drive. You can enjoy a beverage and share the fact that WPR is your source for news and inspiration. Ask for yours when you give $12 a month online at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're not a sustainer, consider becoming one right now. It's really easy to set up, and you'll make those ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. And you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs that you love.
Kaylee in Wanakee says, I listen to WPR faithfully when driving and wanted to do my part to help out. Thank you so much, Kaylee. Glad we get to spend time with you on your commute when you're out and about driving. And thank you so much for giving us your financial support as well. How about you? Where does WPR fit into your life? How important is it for your routine, your connection with the news, your connection with other people around Wisconsin and the world? Put a value on it and then make your very important gift online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. And thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.